Hi, my name is Tinola and welcome to my podcast. On this episode, I will be talking about emotional abuse in friendships. And if this is your first time joining, if this is your first time listening, you should check out my first season, which is centered on sexual abuse in children. And this is the second season, which is more about friendship, emotional abuse, be it in relationships, be it in our families, or even in friendships. So this episode is centered on emotional abuse in friendships. And on this episode, I have a few guests. I have people that would join me for us to have roundtable talk. Let's just talk, even if like they don't have a personal experience, but it's more of just having conversations on like what it is. Seems like it is not usually seen. It's mostly seen in relationships and in friendships. So this is an opportunity for us to just talk about it and then let people know, let people alert people so they can have like an idea of what it is, and like when they see the symptoms, they can just like get to know and do the necessary, if it's just to leave person or just have like a conversation with person. So I think I have my first guest who is available. I'm gonna let him come in so we can talk. Invite to speak. Hello. Hello. Is he there? Can he hear me? He's invited to speak. And then, guys, there is the comment session. So, if there's anything you want to talk about, or if there's anything you want to like chip in, please just note it on in the comment section so I can invite you to speak. I don't know if Oye is here. Okay, I guess not. So while we wait for a guest to join in, I'm just like making research on this topic. I found out so many things. First off, I found out that most like friendship, like even as a person, I feel like even as a person, I have friends that I kind of, I would not say stay away from, but like I'm just cautious around them, because you not because of, yeah, I'm not even gonna lie, because they've done some things to me that I just feel like, you know what, let me just stay on my own. Like we can't, okay, we know we can have like perfect friendships, but then people need to understand that even as friends, we can be toxic to each other. And then I actually found out that, like, contrary to like the belief, you know, we always see we see abusive partners, like even in relationships, it's easy to get, but contrary to that, we know that like our friendships can actually become like a threat to our happiness. Like any bond that we form can actually go bad, like really bad. And then you can have like connection with one person in a minute, and then after some time you realize that person that you share a connection with is actually very toxic. So there are like signs. Of course, there are signs that we might not even see, but that there are always signs. And then on this episode, I would really like, we will touch first on the definition. We want my guests to like chip in, if they can also give their own definition, so we can have like the general definition, even if it's like it's not something that's general, but we can have something, a definition that we all can agree on. And then we'll talk about the signs. We'll talk about experience, personal experience. I'd like share mine. If they have a personal experience, they can go in a little bit and share about it. And then we'll talk about signs, like different signs, what to see, how to identify abusive friends, how to like see these people for who they are. And then when you've identified them, what are you going to do? Like, what's the next thing to do? How to sort the situation? Are you going to just leave them? Are you going to ghost them? or you just have a conversation with them? Let's communicate. Even if we know that communication is very important, even in relationships or even in families, like in friendships. So are you going to communicate with them, or are you just going to ghost them? I'm hoping that my guests are here. They're not here yet, so I think I'll just continue. I'm going to invite Oyi to speak. I don't know why. It's not... I don't have any requests. Okay, great. Still nobody in the room. Okay, I actually found a definition that is really funny. While I'm waiting for... Oh, you said he's here, but can you hear me though? If you can hear me, just send a request to speak, because I keep sending you an invite, but you keep saying you fail. So I don't know, maybe it's my network or yours. Can you hear me? Can you give me, like, there's a comment section. Why use the comment section? Let me see what the problem is. Like, I don't know. I can't seem to send you an invite. I have no idea why I can't do that. Since you're in the room with your profile. Okay. There's a comment section, please. Okay. What about you asking for a request? I think there's an issue with there's an issue with network. Okay. While we're waiting for my other guests to come in, you know what, like, people are always late. So first off, like, in terms of definition, while searching for this topic to know what I want to talk about, I found the definition that seemed perfect. It's more... emotional abuse is any kind of abuse that is emotional rather than physical in nature. That I think everybody agrees on that, because they don't hit you physically, so it's like emotional abuse. It includes anything from verbal abuse and constant criticism to more subtle tactics such as repeated disapproval or even the refusal to ever be pleased. I wish my guests can come in now, so if you could just discuss on this definition. But I guess there's a problem. I don't know. Yes. You can ask. You can request to speak. Okay. Invite to speak. Oh, hello. Okay. Great. I just invited one of my guests to speak. Please.
Yay, finally.
Oh. Hey, so what I'm going to do, like, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself very briefly, since you're the only person I have to do for the moment?
Okay, thank you. My name is Oyi. I'm a I work in finance and product management also. And I think I like the podcast. It's something I've listened to from the first episode, and I always made it try to give feedback where possible. So I'm happy to be invited to finance.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So he's one of my favorite listeners, because he always gives me feedback. And that's why I wanted to invite him, so we can hear a little bit about what he thinks. Since you were listening, I brought out a definition of emotional abuse. I'm going to say it again, and maybe you can just, like, if you tell me if you agree on it, we can just, like, talk about it. Okay.
I was listening when I was still trying to get the... So, for me, I think I like the definition. Something that works, because I think it's emotional abuse is something that's very, very... It's difficult to identify. Let me not say difficult to identify. Sometimes you know, but something like can happen, but maybe it's like a day or two or three later that you realize that something actually happened here. So it's not something that okay happens, not like a direct insult or abuse to your person, and then this person insulted me and I feel offended. It's something that happens in a snide and snarky way that at the end of the day you find yourself just feeling somehow, but not even being able to pinpoint what exactly the issue was. So it's something that works fine. And again, another thing that from what you saw, something that happens, you know, sometimes you might give a snide remark to somebody, but it's not like okay something you do all the time, but that constant, when someone just tries to put you down constantly all the time, then it's something that you can look at and be like, okay, maybe this person is not really, doesn't really have my best interest at heart. So it worked.
We have someone else in the room. Actually, we have two, one more person listening and then one of my guests, Goke. Hi Goke, can you hear me?
Hi Tino, how are you doing? I can hear you.
Very well, thank you for joining. And so I'll let you tell us a little bit about you.
Sorry, can you just repeat yourself? What is that?
Yeah, can you just introduce yourself really briefly?
My name is Goke, and I'm a machine learning engineer. And that's, I don't know, what else do I say about myself? I love chess. For those that wish you go.
Okay. Okay. Before you came, I kind of gave a definition, my own definition of emotional abuse, not in friendships yet, but like emotional abuse generally. So I'm going to like say it again, and I'm like, maybe you can just, if you agree with it, please, of course, chip in something really quickly. So emotional abuse is any kind of abuse that is emotional rather than physical in nature. And it can actually include anything from verbal abuse and constant criticism to more subtle tactics such as repeated disapproval or even the refusal to ever please. What do you think about this definition?
I think it covers every single thing. Yeah. It's quite encompassing, because I normally assume emotional abuse to be subtle. Like, it's just, you don't even know you've been abused until later. But later when you're like, this guy really just dissed me right now. Yeah, that kind of this is one of the most subtle kind of abuse one can get. And it happens, like you said, constantly. And it's consistent over a long period of time, which can shape the way you act towards other people, or even the way you view life generally. So your definition is saying compassion is correct.
And I just wanted to add one more thing. When you say someone is dissing you, you know, like in friendships, we just like kind of, where we use the word diss? We just chipping some things like, something like that. Like, always do these guys on that, something like that. we can't really identify it.
Yeah. That's why it's very subtle. Like, and going like now, I would check it at any point in time, even if the person is just being light or just catching cruise with me, like it doesn't.
He falls under the term, like catching cruise, my guy.
I check it immediately now, because it's me that would do the thinking in the middle of the night.
I'm cutting you short.
No, no problem. Continue. Yeah.
Okay. So we all agree on the definition I found. Hello?
Yes. For me. Yes.
Okay. Moving forward, do you guys have like a personal experience, even if it's not personal, maybe your guy that knew someone like that was like that had a very abusive friend, a toxic friend? Hello?
For me, should I go at first?
Please.
I don't know. I think for me it would be when back then I was on in school, I was on the football team, and my best friend, like literally, because my best friend back then was school, he was the captain of the team too. So you get that kind of, so the vibe was nice until I did, like I said, it's very, very salty. You don't know this guy is doing all this. Well, it's very, very, like, it might sound like a joke, but honestly, it's now that I'm thinking about this, and I really allowed this thing to go past. And like, what this guy used to do back then was, when it comes to going, just picking team or selecting the squad for the day or going on every single, this guy just naturally assumed that I would be, or just naturally assumed I would be the ball boy for every single person. Imagine me serving my own mates, like doing every single thing, and at the end of the day, the game will have gone, and I just assumed that it was my guy. That kind of thing. So yeah, it still pains me up to now that I allowed it to go and check. That's why I said it first.
Did you at any point like talk to him about it?
Oh yes. Funny enough, I spoke to him after the last tournament that we lost. I said, "Guy, what thing you do not make sense." So. Yeah, well, that was a little.
Okay. Anybody who else wants to share an experience? Because I have a lot of things to say.
I think it's quite normal. I don't say it's normal, but I don't know how to put it. But it's something that happens all the time. I think, especially nowadays, although we all shout mental health, but I don't really think people in practice take all those things very seriously. So.
Yeah, it's always under the guys that are my guy and I'm recruiting. I'm like, it's just, I can't see it.
That's one word that I've gotten. I think I saw it from Twitter and I hate it so much now. Cruise. You'll be harassing somebody and they say, "What are you doing?" You say, "You're just cruising." I don't know. I hate that word with the passion or whatever connotation it means. You say, "We're just cruising." Meanwhile, you come into your gang and you're oppressing someone and you say, "We're just cruising now. We're just all sorts of
the vex now. You catch cruise.
I hate that thing. If you tell me that thing, I can slap you.
So I have to watch myself when I say I'm catching cruise with you.
No. See, it's not that. It's when the person expresses that, it's not like, okay, you can't joke around with your friends. I think you know your friends, you know what you guys joke about and what are limits to them and how you respect those limits. It's more or less, if the person now expresses that, you know what, I didn't really find such a thing funny at that time, and the person expresses such, or maybe you two even come to realize that, even if the person doesn't express it to you, maybe see the person's reaction and you have that emotional intelligence, you know, okay, yes, maybe I crossed the boundary, I stepped out of line, then you know how to call yourself back. But when someone expresses to you that, you know what, I don't think I found this funny, I didn't really like that, then you now say, it's cruise now. Understand? And then when you're at that point and you know that, okay, the person maybe doesn't even respect your own opinions and all. So at that point, you have to start evaluating what sort of friendship and the limits that you can give that person to have access to you. Because as we said, we're talking about emotional abuse in friendship. It's very, very, emotional abuse in friendship, it's something that hits close to home because this person knows you, knows the things that makes you angry or happy, knows where it can hit you the most that you hurt. It doesn't have to be much. Just do a simple thing and it will hurt. So it's something very, very delicate and tricky. But when you express that to your friend and you say, you know what, and the person doesn't even take it to heart or try to change and tries to hide it under the crew, then you know that, okay, this cruise is not for the both of us, so maybe we should find a way to scatter this cruise.
And I think the reason why it hurts most is because you, as friends, we expect them to know us better. So you know, like, this is what I'm scared of, or this is what pisses me off. But then you still choose, in a way, to poke me.
Yep.
Oh.
So maybe that's why it even hurts more.
Yeah.
I see Fola is in the room. Fola, if you can hear me, I sent you an invite to speak. So I'll be waiting for you. Yes, I said I had a lot of things to say on this subject. So as a lady, hi Tala.
Hello guys, good evening. I'm genuinely sorry for being a tad late.
No, you're welcome. Can you just briefly introduce yourself quickly?
Okay, my name is Fola Afolayan. I'm a master's 2 student in Paris. I'm Nigerian, of course. yeah, that's about it.
Okay, Fola, thank you for joining us. So you missed a little bit. So we were just actually talking about the topic itself, like friendship. Yeah. Emotional abuse in friendships, and we were sharing. I kind of shared a definition. Everybody like agreed. I'll read it again to you. To maybe you have something to add or just as subtract.
Okay, please go ahead.
Just a minute. So, emotional abuse is any kind of abuse that is emotional rather than physical in nature. It includes anything from verbal abuse and constant criticism to more subtle tactics, such as repeated disapproval or even the refusal to ever be pleased.
Yeah, I agree with you totally.
Okay, do you have anything you want to chip in, or you'd wait for us to continue?
No, I'll wait for you guys to continue and then I'll just
okay. So we're actually sharing personal experience, like people might not even be yourself, or it might be someone that had a toxic friend, which brings me to the question. Can being possessive as a friend be toxic?
Yes, I would say yes, it can be, because I mean, I'm all for individualism in any kind of shape you find yourself. Do you understand? So if you're my friend, if you're my partner, if you're my family member, allow me be myself. Do you understand? So I think possessiveness is a toxic trait, like such that if care is not taken, if it's not properly guarded, and you know, it can escalate and become something else. It turns out that you're choking the next person without even you realizing it, you know, that kind of thing. So discovering myself and everything, one of the things I realized about myself in recent times is that I can be very jealous and possessive of the people and the things that are mine. But what I try to do is I will not choke you as much as I expect the next person not to choke me. Do you understand? Even no matter what kind of shape we find ourselves in, give room for growth. Let me be myself. Do you understand? Yeah.
Okay, and what about, like, okay, do you have anything to say, like, is there a thin line between being possessive and being toxic?
Like I said, if you're possessive and then you don't pay attention to it, it can escalate and then you turn out to be a toxic person. It makes the whole environment, you know, toxic for the next person. And then it comes to a case where you don't even know it at this time, you know, but you're choking the next person. And maybe for whatever reason, the next person might not be an expressive person, you know. Person is just sucking it all in. Mm. One day, the person will just explode, you know, and then it becomes a yam pepper scatter situation, you know.
Okay, anybody else wants to chip in?
I mean, I know I fall into that sucking it in patcha, because I'll just be looking at you, looking at you.
Well, I think that's not a very good thing. I'm sorry to chip in.
No, it's something that is working on. It's still working on, but I think now I'm a bit better now. Before I just look at and. You know, I said something about ghosting, I think, earlier on in the... I just ghost too. What's my own with having long discussions?
I think ghosting is a very wicked thing to do. Because the next person is just going to lose his or her mind and like, wait, what did I do? There are so many questions saying, and there are no answers.
I think he said ghosting in the sense that when the person is being toxic, you just ghost, right?
Yeah. I'm just talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. I feel like we're all adults, and then everybody should be able to, you know, have conversations about it. See, you know what? We're not going the same direction again. You know, you have turned left, and I want to go right. I think you should just go our separate ways. You know, that kind of thing. I think another subtle form of emotional abuse would be, what's the word now? I'm coming. Well, hang on a minute, please. An opportunist. An opportunist is someone that would use, like someone that only takes and not give. That's a very subtle
those are the signs.
Yeah, that's a very subtle form of emotional abuse. like you're giving your all to this person, but then you're getting nothing in return. I don't know, I just think that
you're right we're actually going to talk about like different signs.
Okay so I jumped the gun, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, it's something we should get back on. I have like a little experience with that kind of situation. I as a person, I feel like when I'm friends with someone, first off, I don't have a lot of friends, but most of my friends are in Nigeria, like people I grew up with there in Nigeria, so the only thing we say is just like, hi, what's up, how's school, if you have projects, if you're getting married, just quick conversations. So here in France, I don't have a lot of friends.
Okay.
And so like my circle is pretty small, and when I find someone that I feel like this person, you know, me and you, like we can cruise,
we can vibe,
like we have the same connection, like everything is perfect between us, I tend to guide jealously, if I can use that word, that person. I care about that person. I'll give you an instance. So I have this classmate of mine, she probably listens to this. If you listen to it, it's just, I'm just like putting it out here, even if we've had that conversation. So this person, she's the kind of person that attracts friends a lot. How I found that, okay, she's my colleague, she's my schoolmate, classmate, rather. And because we have like, we kind of understood each other, so we're really close. And then she had another friend in the class, which made us the three friends in class. So this summer, she organized a barbecue at her place. Everybody went. And when I got there, like, I wouldn't want to use the word jealous, because there were a lot of people. There were like 10 people in the same in the same space, and then she was like the center of attraction for everyone. She's the one that brought everybody together. So some people actually knew each other, but since I didn't know the other friends, I just stood away. I just was on my own. I felt jealous because I'm like, I don't want to. It's not that I don't want to share you with other people, but I don't know. Like, you're my friend, and it's supposed to be me and you. Why am I having so many people? Why am I having to share you with other people? Another instance. That same day, we were actually playing a game. I think we were playing Truth or Dare or something like that. So a question came up, and it was now my turn. A sexual question came up. So I answered that question. Everybody in the room were like shocked. They were looking at me some type of way. And our third friend, I don't know if you guys remember, I mentioned the third friend. Our third friend made a comment. I actually found that comment, I'm not going to say it because voila, I found the comment very demeaning. On the spot, I didn't know how to react. Everybody looked at the girl, everybody looked at the person like, okay. But then the game had to continue. But for me, I felt that I can't be your friend. And then I was mad at my two friends because I felt that my friend, the person I'm really close to, she was in the situation and she could have like supported me. She didn't. She just let it go because she didn't want to take sides with anybody. She just stood like, she was just there. Which really brings me to the question that if you have a mutual friend with someone, and then you guys, your mutual friends have clashes, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to pick sides, or are you supposed to make sure that there's balance? Because when, as mutual friends, when I see you go out with our third friend, I'm mad. I'm like, why am I not in this circle? Are we not friends? Why am I left behind? Do you guys get what I'm saying? Am I the only one that exhibit this character, or it's just a general thing?
Yeah, I guess it, but I think again it depends on the relationship between mutuals, because you might be close to one person, but okay, maybe you're aware of the other person, but you're not like close to that person. Mm. So it depends on if it's something like, okay, you know, maybe three of us are in secondary school, that kind of thing, and we're all pals, or we're in a group or clique, or whatever it is that it's called. So, yes, we know each other on the same level, and it's a different thing. But if it's so that, okay, I'm just aware of this person's presence, then not going to be something that it's not going to be a sign of taking sides or something. Yes, obviously, I will be closer to the person that I know intimately.
Better.
I probably lean more towards that person. Doesn't mean that, okay, yes, whatever, even if that person is wrong, I'm not going to say, I think you didn't do well here, that kind of thing. But in the end, you stepping into it, it's going to be like a third party
thing.
So you stepping into
it. Yeah, I just felt that.
The way you know the full dynamics is different.
I felt that, like, in this situation, this instance, she knew both of us very well because she's the one that
really knows. I think that she has the middle partner
person.
Now.
She could have just come out and say, "Ah, okay, let's discuss this thing as adults." She didn't take sides, but at the same time, indirectly, she was taking sides because she didn't address the issue. No, you feel that we still see her in class the next day.
You know this thing, it's a kind of situation where you don't want to offend this friend. I don't want to offend this friend. When the end, you end up
offending both because you don't discuss it.
So, let me not say I don't want to blame her too much because you're just like, you know what? I think the best option for me at this point is just to just step back because okay, I'm sure you get.
That's exactly what I did, anyways.
Yeah, because you find someone stepping up to that other partner because you only know that partner through her.
Her.
So it's a tricky situation for that person anyway. So I don't want to blame her too much because even me, I don't even know what I would have done in that kind of situation.
In that situation, it's easier said than done.
But the thing I would have just done was maybe speak to that person privately instead of calling like a group meeting or something. Just like, this thing was not so. Could have said this thing better or whatever better, or you shouldn't have said it at all. Maybe speak to that person privately and maybe get her to apologize. To call it like a group meeting is going to now look, everybody will just start getting defensive and all. Sometimes you just need to speak private, maybe speaking privately sometimes sorts out more things than trying to now do group everybody meeting. Everybody starts getting defensive.
okay, thank you. So we'll move to the next. Sorry, were you saying something?
I said, in the end, you don't solve anything, you're still back at the same point.
Of course, I agree with you. So moving to the next topic, it would be like, what are the signs? Fola has already mentioned something to us, being an opportunist. What are the signs that, we can see in emotional abuse in friendships? Hello?
Okay. Yeah, okay. For me, one sign is, I think, just constant belittling of, you know, there's a way people make snide remarks. It's your cloth, too. Now, there's a difference between someone just saying something offhand. But there's the kind of things that happen when it's like in the power dynamic. Maybe you're with a friend that's maybe from a richer home or something, but somehow maybe people meet and you're friends and something like that, and you find, but the person now takes that as an opportunity to
belittle you.
Yeah, but it's just like a constant. It's not, the person might be nice throughout the day, but you just make an offhand comment like, "This is your wig."
Specifically, wig.
It's a sore point for many people now. So, this is your shoe.
Just get a CV.
Just something that happens. Okay, my defense day, my just look at that, you know what? I don't get your money, but you know what? I'm managing. Whatever I have, the next week, the upper week, just one thing or the other that doesn't hit you at that point, but you might just get home and it just occurs to you that, this thing wasn't nice at all. And the more you find yourself start feeling less when you're around that person, or once you start having that feeling that you're not free, you start getting self-conscious, that's a sign that you know that, okay, yes, you're not really in a healthy friendship.
Okay, I found another one. They say a healthy friendship is based on trust. So does it mean that if you catch your friend repeatedly lying to you, is that a problem? Does that make them like an abusive friend? Does that make you a toxic friend?
Omo, if you lie to me, then you don't rate me. To be honest, because one of the things that I started to do in recent times is to properly categorize the people in my life. So classmates, I use more of the words like classmates, acquaintances, friends of friends, you know, stuff like that. So the moment you get to be called my friend, then it means that so much thought has gone into it. I expect that you would have my back as much as I'll have your back. So if you lie to me, then it means you don't rate me. I'm not saying I'm 100% honest to my friends, but the things I would quote unquote lie to you about, I'd rather not tell you. Than lie to you. Do you understand? I'd rather go, I don't want to talk about it, or I don't know. You know, I'll just say something that doesn't give up my response than lie to you. I mean, if you lie to me, it means you don't rate me. For some other people, it might be different, but me, I feel like you're taking me for a fool if you lie to me, you know, that kind of thing. And then another thing about this whole toxic friendship, is it toxic friendship? I'll be I had a fallout with a friend one time, and then I didn't think it was gonna, like, it was a very rude shock. I didn't think it was gonna happen, and I think that one of the reasons why it hurt me the most is because I just kept saying to myself that I would never do this to this person, so why am I getting treated like this, you know, that kind of thing. So it stems more from the fact that, you know, if tables were to be turned, I wouldn't do this to you. So why are you doing this to me? That kind of thing.
Okay, thank you, Fola. Goke, do you want to add something?
Sorry, what's the question again?
We're actually discussing about the signs to check, to look out for.
Oh, what signs? The first girl was right. That's the constant belittling, and also that's a criticism too. Because it's worse when it comes from your guy. You will not be able to attack or reply. You'll be like, you just laugh it off, that kind of thing, which is quite annoying. But you just laugh it off, and it's funny because you might have. It starts from little things like dressing up for an event, and because you are dressed in the video, like, where will they go? Nobody they marry now, right? Why if they overdo little things like that? It's honestly very, very subtle. It's annoying, very, very annoying to me, Sean. It has to be constant. And it has to be constant. That's what I feel. But constant negative criticisms, and yes, she said something about lying. You said something about lying. For me, it depends on the context of the lie. If you are lying to protect me, for instance, now, like, you're trying to cover your own ass. In my life, I don't have a problem with that. But it's context for me. So whatever, like, just know that if it's a lie that the kind that you go and talk bad about me in front of other people, like you are basically dropping, you're just speaking bad of me, you're speaking ill of me to other people, that's a different, that one level of friendship, that you're full blown Judas at that point in time. So so it just depends on the context. Lies are allowed, I think, in every relationship.
Lies are allowed. Okay. Anybody wants to chip something in based on what you said? Lies are allowed.
That's so lie responsibly, please.
Everybody lies. So if I was come around and say, you don't lie, or you won't lie in some situations. Yeah. But as you said, if you now take it at out and somebody's bad mouthing you or maligning your character behind you, and you're supposed to be pals or friends, then that's like whole different ball game. So.
Okay, I think I would go with Fola when she said, I would rather not tell you. than lie to you. Yeah, so I would have, sorry, I didn't tell you. I didn't lie, but I just didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's better than lying. A white lie is still a lie. So instead of me lying, I didn't inform you. I didn't think it was necessary for you to know.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is this ghosting thing. When they disappear and then they come back when you need them, when they need you. That one too is very common. Like, if, like, okay, we get it that we're all busy, right? We're all like, we have our lives to live. We're probably busy with a project or even work, even school. And then me as a person, I try to be careful because I know that I'm very like, since I don't really mix very much. I'm just on my own. I don't want to come to you when I need something. Even if it's just, I'll just see people's stories on Instagram or WhatsApp. I'll just laugh so that you know that I'm there. It's not like when I need something from you now, I'll start saying, hey, baby, what's up? Hello? Do you guys get what I'm saying?
I feel like we're all adults and we're all trying to win this life. And so, I don't promise that every time I see your IG, I will pop in to say what's up. I mean, I might not be in the mood. I don't promise that when I see your tweets, I would reply, or when I see your WhatsApp story, you know, something like that. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, Shabba. Even if you don't like speak to me in ages or whatnot, or you don't check in on me once, and you buzz me to say, oh, I need you to do XYZ, or, you know, reach out to me for a favor. I mean, I'm going to do it because I've come to realize, like, see, everyone is going through it in this life. And the fact that we're all smiling doesn't mean like it's going well for everyone. Do you understand? So I've come to a place where I no longer get offended if somebody that hasn't reached out to me in ages, you know, suddenly reaches out to me to say, oh, I need your help, XYZ, XYZ. As long as it's not money, I know what you come ask me for money. But yeah, I have come to that conclusion because one of the things I detest the most is when somebody buzzes me to say, you forgot me, I can't deck you. Like, what's your problem? But let me not digress too much, Sha. I just feel like life is going on and kicking some of us really hard in the butt. And it's very okay if you don't speak to somebody in ages and then you just come and, you know, I mean, because if they needed help at that time, and then of all the people they could have thought about, they thought about you. I mean, I count it as a privilege, Sha, you know, to be able to give a helping hand in that kind of situation. So it's not that deep for me, really.
What if it's constant? Every time you need help, you run to me, but on another, you don't talk to me.
Then I'm going to speak to you about it. I'm going to speak. One of the things that has changed for me in recent times is the fact that I have become very expressive. What I feel, I will not bottle it in, because if I bottle it in, I will not be able to sleep. And nobody is worth my sleep, to be honest. So I'm just going to tell you the way it is. Like, you don't reach out to me, but when you want help, you know, you have my number, or you know my guy. The next time, I'm going to block you, you know. I might say it in a very casual manner or whatnot, but I know that at this time, I have already passed across my message. It's now left to you and your family members to go and digest it and make of it whatever you need, you know.
I don't think I'll say it out directly like that, Sha, but you just have to. It's again too. It's also applying emotional intelligence to interactions. In the end, as you said, as Fola said earlier about classifying people. In the end, after you interact with someone for a bit, you can tend to say, you know what. This is who is reliable. This is who I can call for this. This is who I can call for that. This is who da 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 da. And different levels of friendship, because the thing is that you can't be the same way with everybody.
Everybody.
So that's just it. So you just have to have those classifications. So you know, okay, if I need something, this is who I can talk to and without any hiccups. But doesn't that mean that you should now, because you know that, okay, yeah, this person is always available for me, and you now want to use that person as a crutch. Anytime you have an issue, you now want to
run to them.
As they say in my side, lean on me, no be crush me or something like
die.
That.
Die.
No, because I say, okay, yes, I'm available, doesn't that mean that, okay, because you don't even know what me I'm dealing with at that point. So You just have to approach and to know when to approach and when not to. And if you have someone that is always like a leech, there's some people that they just, as you said earlier, they just take, and you can't even depend on them for anything. And you have to be able to identify such people. And as Fala said, maybe going forward, for those of us that don't have those discussions, we start having those. having those discussions and telling people that, yeah, you know what, I don't like so-so. They're even aware that you do. For some people, maybe because you don't say it or you don't show it, you just think it's not that this person can take it now, but I think once in a while, as they say in our side, we have to change it. When you change it, then you know that, okay, you know what, this person has a limit. From there, you take it up from there.
Okay, so to conclude really quickly, based on what everybody has talked about, so I think when we identify such friends, what to do is basically communicate with them. Am I right?
Yeah, yes. I think communication is, well, any kind of relationship, not just one friendship, communication is very, very important. You need to be able to articulate your, it's not easy for everybody. Not everybody has that skill or ability, but it's a very, very important tool to have, to be able to articulate your thoughts in a non-threatening manner. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm articulating my thoughts and I'm pouncing on you. And something for you to be able to say, you know what, A, B, and C has been happening over time, and I don't like A, B, and C. Going forward, I hope so doesn't happen. So if you're lucky at that point in time, person understands and stops it, and you're fine. But if after expressing yourself, giving your own impressions, and you still have to get back to the same old, then you know that, okay, maybe you need to reconsider.
Probably ghost to them at this point.
Yeah, not necessarily need to ghost, but as I said, we have scale of friendship. So maybe a person is on level one before. Scale it
down.
It doesn't stop being your friend, but you just know the limits of your relationship. And once you understand that, most people do that unconsciously. So once you understand that, then it can be better. It doesn't mean you won't talk, it doesn't mean you won't say hi, but you might not just be like on that very deep level. So
Very well. Any final words? Okay, Fola. Final words from me would be that I think we should all be careful to be the kind of friends we want to have.
Yep.
Yeah, always like put yourself, always turn the tables around, you know. Half the time, think about it, like, if it was me that was being treated like this, how would I feel? And I think it's to just make every one of us be better people, you know, to an extent, and to make the world a better place. Yep.
Thank you, Fala. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm moved.
This toxic friendship thing, so you might be thinking, oh yes, I'm good. Meanwhile, someone might be labeling you as the toxic
person. Right. That's why the communication part is also important. Talk, yeah, let's know. How am I fucking up?
Yeah, those things are very, very important. So as Fola has said, it's important to also be self-aware. So it's not just being looking for enemies up and down. Oh. You should have that self-assessment to even know if you are even a good friend or not. So it's a two-way thing in all respects.
Okay.
I'll be retweeting what Fola said. Basically, just put yourself in the person's shoes. And relationship is not—it's not hard to start, and it's not difficult to maintain if you are thinking of yourself, of the person as like yourself. That's where it starts, and that's where it should end. And the moment you start seeing angles to your relationship, like what can I gain from this person? From being with this person, it's over at that point in time. You're already, it's no longer a symbiotic relationship. You're just there to take advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Very well. On that note, I would end today's session. Thank you so much for for being present with me. Thank you so much, Fola. Thank you, Goke. Thank you. Can you please pronounce your name again? Because each time I keep...
Ohi.
Ohi. Okay. Thank you, yeah. Ohi. And to our listeners, thank you. And on this note, I will end the room. And guys, please don't forget to keep listening to my podcast, Serious Talk with Sinwola. And yeah. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a good time. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye, man. Bye, guys.
Bye. Good evening.
Bye.